Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and tell you why.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Progressive News Network, and I'll tell you why there's a better world to come in, because tonight we have a very special guest. It's Luis Cuevas. He is the director of Progressive, the national director of Progressive Push, and he is going to share with us some of the stuff he charges for, maybe, if lucky. In any case, before I introduce Luis, let me just remind you that if you are in the area, the Palm Beach County National Organization for Women is going to have the 39th Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Luncheon on March 18th at 12 noon in Palm Beach County in Boca Raton. So if you want to, it's a really great place to network. It's worthwhile going for a lot of reasons. Certainly to support the National Organization for Women. Their website for more information on the event is P as in Peter, B as in Boy, C, PC, Palm Beach County Now, .org. So we hope you can make it. And the Progressive News Network is brought to you by Imagineering Productions, which is a full-service multimedia company, and the Media Goddess Worldwide for all your PR needs. So now that we've gotten out of the way, I am very happy to introduce, you know, we have him for a whole half hour all to ourselves, Luis Cuevas, the National Director of Progressive Push. Welcome, Luis.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good to hear you.
Is that thing still playing?
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Obviously.
Okay. Why did I hear it? Never mind. So, I know what that was. Anyway, tell us, oh great and wise one, what you have learned in all your many years of experience. We have all kinds of listeners and actually quite a number of states and even around the world. I would say that the large portion of our population is some kind of an activist, so bring that in mind.
Generally speaking, one of the most important things for those folks who want to be activists, who want to get immersed into bringing about solutions to a problem, is to go with their gut instinct. Which issues, causes are the ones that make you vibrate, that make you think that there is a need for a fix, for a solution to a specific problem? And once you get there, then tackle that problem. Pay attention to all the details that might come into play, and go forward and start doing investigation about what is the situation, what are the possible solutions, and then decide how you want to take action.
Okay. I'm looking at something, and it says, are you a lone ranger or a team player? Is there a need to choose?
Right, yes. Generally speaking, most people are faced with the dilemma of whether they're going to go at it alone or whether they're going to be part of a team, they're going to join a group. There's a multitude of issues, and they all can be dealt with in different ways. Generally speaking, the lone ranger, which is the term I use for the individual who prefers to work at it alone, generally that individual wants to have direct action. That means generally that person bypasses all of the systems, and he takes personal charge of an issue, of dealing with an issue. Let's talk about, in this case, as an example, a problematic that has to do with animal welfare or care. Somebody who is in tune with helping animals that have been abandoned and wants to solve that problem, wants to deal with that issue, feral cats. So people take direct action by going out there, either picking up the animals, taking them to the refuge, or actually taking them to a vet and then dealing with a situation on their own. A more indirect way would be for that person to go through the system and then convince the county and the animal control department that perhaps euthanizing all the animals that they have is not the best way, and that they can go out and somehow work with a coalition of people to solve the situation and stop euthanizing animals. So you have two ways there: either work with the authorities that are involved in it, or the groups that are involved with it, or you take personal control of the situation. If an individual is more comfortable doing it alone, that individual also has to look at the fact that depending on the issue and how complicated it is, they need to always investigate, figure out how not to get into problems and into trouble, because they might hurt their own cause that way. And sometimes that individual will realize that at times they will need to work with somebody else. Teamwork means that that individual will look out and find what groups are working with a cause that he or she might be interested in, and therefore you go out there, you join them, you learn from them. You might not agree with them all the time, but then you figure out, you learn what they do, how they do it, what's done, and you might get into a situation in which you are innovative, and you might say, well, I have another different solution. I will organize my own team. At that time, when you start dealing with that situation, then you're dealing with volunteers, and then it gets a little bit more complicated, and you have to establish a relationship with those people, and you have to learn to always, always thank your volunteers and learn to work with them. And so it goes for the more complicated task of once you achieve a certain degree of work with your cause, you might think in terms of, well, I might want to go into a more political aspect and deal with this situation, something I want to fix. It becomes more complicated, and then you have to have a strategy and certain tactics to deal with that problem.
So basically, do your homework before you stick your toe in the water.
Definitely. Yes, a lot of people don't realize that there's much work to be done. It appears more complicated. By the same token, I think a lot of people don't realize that even if you have very little time, there's always something you can do. That I can only do a little bit with some little bit of time doesn't mean that you don't do anything. I mean, that's the easiest way out. That's doing nothing is the easiest thing in the world. But when you think in terms of there's a problematic to deal with, then you tackle it and you say, okay, well, what do I have? And I always remember a young child from South Africa who was fighting AIDS and had a campaign to help other kids in South Africa. And he says, you can always do what you can with the time you have. and you do the best you can, you see. And once you figure that out, that is how I'm going to strategize and go ahead. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, you don't need to come out of home. I've had over the years many people who ask me the question, and in some cases I found myself with folks who actually contacted me and said, listen, I am homebound. I cannot leave home. I would like to do something. I said, well, you have a computer. You are connecting with me. Let me show you how we can go ahead and begin to contact other people, and you can begin to have an effect on others, you see. And that's all it takes.
I think that most of the time people come in their own way. And if they would just stop telling themselves the reason I can't do it,
mm-hmm.
just try to figure out the reason they could do it and how they would do it, they get a lot further.
Yes, I think that a lot of people think more in terms of what are the limitations rather than what are the boundless ways in which, yes, I can do it. I mean, we set our own limitations. And that's the thing is, if you be creative. I mean, if what you like to do is write, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and communicate with people. If you are a singer, compose. If you are an actor, street acting. You get a group to go out there and do some street theater. It's not that difficult. You. What's the message you want to carry? And at times it takes sometimes some people to say, okay, let's be patriots from different periods of history. You're Abraham Lincoln. You're Abigail Adams. And you are in a crowd, and you walk around and you start asking people questions concerning liberties, rights, issues, and you engage them. I mean, that is one format that you can definitely use. And there are many more that you can deal with.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's library... is the internet. There's tons of information there, and the chances are somebody else has done something similar, not exactly the same as what you want to do, and appropriate. You can borrow, you know, ideas here and there and put together your own version of whatever it is.
Exactly. You improve on somebody else's ideas. That's what it takes. You know, be creative. You just don't have to stick to a mold. In fact, the further you get from a mold, the better it gets. So that it becomes genuine. It's something that people can feel is coming directly at them, and that is the main rule. Essentially, stick to your message. Make absolutely sure that you always have that in mind, and you carry it forward. People understand it. You communicate it clearly, and then it's always about being positive and getting something done. Don't waste time in ranting. Don't waste time complaining. You don't get anything done that way. You just come back to say, okay, what can we positively get done? And have a plan. You see, when people get together without a plan, it's a gathering. And that's all you get. But if you have a plan, then you obviously have there an organization, and you move forward to make that plan a reality.
Mm-hmm. My brain just went off in a lot of different directions. But that was really good. That's it. If you have a group and you don't have a planned gathering, and you have a plan, you know something's going to happen. That's pretty simple. That's pretty direct. So what if your plan is to get involved? You've been involved in organizations, let's say, and you want to take it to the next level.
Yes. Essentially, once you have been working with a cause, with an issue, most often an activist is faced with a dilemma of whether they want to get involved in the political process. And that means that you are going to take a serious action. It's more complicated, and therefore it needs a lot more planning, more strategizing, a better message. And it requires you to stick to that message over and over again. The question is, at which level do you want to work? Whether it's going to be working for the, you want to be elected as a dog catcher, whether that's, something that's electable in your area. You want to go to the school board. You want to become a city commissioner, a county commissioner. There are degrees of complexity here. But the situation is always the same. You have to pay attention. You have to be watchful. You have to plan in advance. You have to talk to your family to create a number of circles around you. If your family is willing to help you, can they help you? Are you in the financially acceptable situation in which you actually can take that time? How much time do you have?
Let me ask a question. When you say ask your family, can they help you? What are we talking about?
Yes,
exactly.
What we want to know is, you want to run for county commissioner or city commissioner. Let's put it that way. And the first thing is, you want to support me. Yes, you will. You give me the time in the family. Will you support me? I mean, you have a full time job, but there's other things that you have to take care of at home. Can you help me with that? Will you support me in this race? Will you give me a contribution? Because that's your first circle. When you begin to raise money, that's another question that is extremely important. The liberals seem to have a taboo about raising money. It's not the easiest thing for most progressive liberals to ask somebody for money. It doesn't come easy, but you have to. You have to, because that is a key to getting things where you want them. And you start with your family. Can you give me $25? You see, do you trust me enough to help me with that, to help me a little bit financially, to help me raise money from other people? If you are a candidate, you want to say, I have my circle of family, circle of friends. You have a multitude of circles which you begin to trace in terms of your closest family, then your closest friends, then people you know, so on. And let's say that you can make yourself a list and say, okay, I have 1,000 people in between my family and my best friends, my friends, people I know, and I will ask each one of them that they support me and that they give me $25 for my campaign. And right there, right then, if you calculate, if you've got $25,000, if you got 1,000 people that are willing to give you that, and you got your seed money for your campaign, depending on what kind of a complex race it is, you need more or less. But in the recent times, it's getting more complex, and therefore you're getting far more expenses there. So to a degree, the willingness of your friend, your family and your friends to help you is going to, in many ways, determine a lot of the success you're going to have. And you also have to then come back over and over again for support. And there are things that you must do. One of them is keep them always informed about what you're doing, how you're doing, that type of thing. so they will continue to support you.
So, okay, the one way of family support is saying, okay, I have certain responsibilities in the household, and if I for office, I may not be able to fulfill those responsibilities. Will you cover for me? And the other family response for it would be money, would be financial.
Exactly.
So if you just, once you identify, I'm just, as I always do, I just want to summarize. I want to make sure I understand it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide you're going to be something, you're going to run for dog catcher, whatever it is, once you identify what it is you want to run for, you need to know clearly why you want to run for it.
Definitely.
And be able to communicate that to other people.
Exactly.
So that then you can say, and that's why I need your financial support.
Right, exactly.
And not die.
You know, the one of the things that most people don't realize, and that has a lot to do with the whole process of campaigning. And, you know, essentially, forget about particularly this campaign. If you're running for any office, skip the word change. And you want to talk to people about, you know, if we have a situation in the city, in the county, what do we need? Well, we need to build something. We need to fix something, or we need to make something better, you see. And then you create a very clear message that you're going to carry to people. Whether it's people first, we're going to put people ahead of the corporations, and that's what my campaign is about. And we're going to create employment. We're going to fix the infrastructure, and we are going to create a situation for small businesses to actually be able to, get creative and get productive, and keep the wealth of the community within the community. You want to tackle things like that. Or you just want to scramble and say to people, oh, I love my county, I love my city, I want to help it. Well, that's very vague. People want to hear, they want to know, what is it that you want to do and will do for them? After all, you're engaged in creating a conversation with a voter. If you elect me for 2 years, this is what I want to do for you. So you have a covenant. You have a relationship with your people, with your neighbors, with your constituents. And you will need to tell them, you might not agree with me all the time, but I will be frank, fair to you, and I will listen to you. And once you establish that relationship with your right message, always coming back to the message, being clear and concise, you are going to establish a conversation that will be lasting. And another thing that you need to do, and that's really important, is to establish a narrative. Why do I want to do this? And when your people, when you start getting volunteers and everybody needs, let me rephrase it. You first need to have an organization, and you have five well-focused people. You can create a good campaign, but you need an army of volunteers. The more volunteers you have, perhaps the less money you might need, but you will need more and more volunteers to carry the message. And the thing is, when you get a volunteer to go out there and knock on doors and say, my name is such and such, and I am working for, you know, Luis Cuevas. I want to really get him elected. Let me tell him, and in 2 minutes, you tell that person why you want to get Luis Cuevas elected, you see. And in 2 minutes, you get that done, you move on to the next house. But that person, gets a message, a little narrative there. It means that you are really convinced about this candidate, and you need to sit down with your volunteers and talk about that, and always have a conversation so that they can carry that message and that narrative with them all the time.
So, like, talking points, is that what talking points are, sort of, kind of? Or
yeah,
an elevator speech?
Well, the difference is that one of the things that a candidate needs to avoid is having a laundry list of issues that they stand on. And that means that instead of that, a volunteer goes out and says, you know, these are the reasons I really like this candidate. I wouldn't be here today on this Saturday talking to you unless I really believed in him. And this is why, you see. Short and to the point. You know, this person is really working hard to do this. This is what he wants to do for you. You see.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
How important is it for somebody that wants to be a candidate to have, what kind of experience do they need to have had? Is it important what kind of background they have, what kind of jobs they've held, what kind of community organizations they've involved in, or does it not matter? Because,
well, yes, it does matter. It's very important for somebody to be able to do a number of things. One is know what the job they want is for, I mean, what it requires, what the tasks are. Running for a school board without ever having attended a school board meeting, or been involved with education, or participated in the committees that deal with accepting books, textbooks for the school system, begins to get a little bit difficult. You need to know what the inroads are in that area. So that means you have to have some knowledge of the process, the procedures. You need to get yourself involved with that. You have to attend those meetings of the school board, get with all the procedures that they have, why they have them, the issues that they have there. If it's a city commission, the same thing. You got to attend the city commission meetings and the committee meetings. Get involved with them. If there are advisory boards for these, for the school board, for the city commission, for the county commission, get in the advisory boards. Choose the ones that you like. If it's environmental, if it's campaign financing, get involved with those. Learn what they are doing. In many counties, more progressive counties nowadays, there are actually courses taught two or three times a year in which you are taken by county officials, and they teach you, generally speaking, they do it once every Monday, for example, for a number of weeks. And every Monday you go to a different agency or agencies of the county or city commission, and they tell you how they operate, what their procedures are. They tell you how they save money or what monies they need, that kind of thing, and you learn how everything works rather than, oh, surprise. You always have to learn after you get elected, because there are things that you have to be prepared for regarding how a number of procedures. But you need to know what office you want to run for, what that entails, how complicated it might be, what the issues are. And, of course, if you're going to have a campaign, then you need to really be informed about what is going on in there.
Okay. Okay, you Progressive Push does this kind of, I don't know, is it coaching? Is it what?
It's a combination.
What is it
Yes. what we do is and generally we try to tailor our trainings to campaigns. We work with candidates. We work with their campaign managers. We train their staff. We look at what city they're working with, what district in their city. What are the demographics in that community? What are the economic situations? We look at the voter history, and we work with the candidate and his campaign. We train them. This is how we are going to tackle this. This is how we want to work a strategy. We look at their campaign plan. Like we said earlier, you must have a plan. When we have a candidate who wants to be endorsed by Progressive Push, one of the things that we ask of them is, do you have a campaign plan? I mean, we want to know that you are really serious about this, and that you have your message, that you have your narrative, and you have your plan. And your plan, that you have your people in place, that you have a campaign staff, that campaign staff is well prepared, that you have looked at all the most important aspects of all of that, and then we take you, we go with you and your campaign manager, and we go over everything. Sometimes we just do campaign training for campaign managers, separate from the candidate. Yes. So we work with those things. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just kind of wanted to make sure. It's like, I remember, I think I asked you off of the air, what's the difference between, because I went to a training for EFA, and what's the difference? So I just, before I got,
yes,
I wanted to mention that. So now we have, we're going to have a panel. So that they can ask questions or share experiences that they've had in this same area. And all media-related people. But they're all activists as well. We have, first we have Amy Tidd from The Amy Tidd Show. Hello, Amy.
Well, good evening. I've been listening. You guys are really covering the campaign issues well. Glad to be joining
you tonight. Great. Okay, and then the next person I have on the line is Gwen Holdenberry from Here Be Monsters. Yes?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. And then the last person, but certainly not the least person, is Jimmy Schmidt from the Media Center, and he's up there near you in Phil, right, Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Civic Media Center in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay, rock and roll. So, Amy, what part of Florida are you in? I get confused.
I'm over by Cocoa Beach, which is an hour east of Orlando.
Okay. And
over on the beach.
That?
So I'm in Central Florida, land of Senator Herodopoulos.
I know too many names, but I know that one, and I don't like
it.
Dirty Harry.
And Gwen, of course, is in Palm Beach County. But we're really all over the state of Florida, which is great. Do any of you want to share or ask a question of something that comes to mind?
Well, I was just curious. Louise, are you still on the line? You run a PAC. I was wondering how your fundraising is going and where are you finding support from to help the candidates?
Yes, generally speaking, we have a set of volunteers. We have managed to get people who train with 21st century Democrats. Some of them, myself included, train with Wellstone campaign management trainings. We have folks who have worked with the Progressive Leadership and we like to get people to join us in this endeavor. They do pro bono. You know, we have volunteers. It's for free. When we get donations, it's usually we get it in the way of a tips, or when we do organize, when we have a training that we organize for a number of candidates. We usually like to do between 30 and 60 candidates at a time. And when that is a situation for a campaign, we work it out that we have a basic charge per person, and that will include lunch and beverages, et cetera, during a couple of days. And it all varies because, you know, sometimes we tailor it to the campaign, and that's essentially how we get funded. And sometimes people are happy and they give us a tip.
Well, very good. Do you go all around the state, or do you focus there in the South area of Florida?
Well, actually, we work through Florida and the rest of the country. We're working right now with candidates in New Mexico. We have Eric Griego, and then we're working with Ken Aiden in Arkansas, Congressional District 3. So we go around the country. We have a few folks in the Hawaii who are running for the U.S. Senate, who are running for the House, and we like to support them, to help them in their campaigns, particularly first-time runners, because they really need the most help. We offer our services many times for pro bono.
Okay, well, I think that that is wonderful. I have been very involved with Democracy for America and their trainings that they hold for both volunteers and candidates.
Right.
And
they
do
very, very good work.
They do, and I think that anybody who is considering running should attend one of these training, whether it's Wellstone or Democracy for America, some kind of weekend training to get a feel for the whole campaign before you jump right in. Because once you start, everything comes at you very quickly.
Oh, definitely. In fact, that is how Alan Grayson actually got his feet wet there with DFA in Orlando. So they, you know, we work with DFA National, and we sometimes organize. We have organized teach-ins and work with them. Sometimes they, you know, it's their faculty, it's their staff that does the work, and we just do the auxiliary of finding the place and the logistics for it. They do have their template of how they do things and all that. We try to work in a different manner, in which we actually tailor it, customize it for the campaign itself.
Luis, I had a question kind of dovetailing off of what you were just saying. What kind of physical locations and then institutions or organizations do you work with when you're doing these trainings? Where are they located? Where do they happen? Is it a variety of different kinds of spaces?
Yes,
they
are. Sometimes what we do is we work with local organizations, whether they're labor unions, that they want to do this. In some cases, there are local activists, people who are engaged in organizing their own campaigns, and they want to figure out how to do it, how the whole process gets done. I'm sorry.
Are you meeting in people's homes? Are you doing a lot of small meetings in people's homes?
Okay.
Or are we talking
actually
churches,
we do have yes. That's a good question. Because we use a variety of methods. In many cases, the ones. System that we prefer is to have called conferences where we get to talk to a candidate, his campaign manager, field director, volunteer director, so on and so forth. Saves a lot of time because you don't have to be traveling and wasting hours of travel time, gas or, you know, transportation costs, and you can tackle a number of issues. If we can do it over Skype, that is fine. We can do it, you know, it's a teleconference. We like to use these methods. The other way is that we actually have a group that organizes, let's say, X group wants to have a training, a campaign training, and they would like to have our team, usually four or five of us, to come over and do the training. We ask them that they find a union hall or a school with several rooms in it that we can go to. We try to do it the cheapest way we can, you know, for these groups, so that they don't have to spend money. If you do it in a hotel, you're going to pay surcharges. Is you know, it comes into the thousands of dollars if you do it that way. But if you do this the other way, working with local organizations who have rooms that we can come into, and usually if we find hotel rooms, hotel nearby that our team can stay, we'll share rooms, and you know, we can go there and do our thing. We do the training, and you know, after that we have follow-ups over phone that we continue to talk to them and guide them. And anytime a candidate wants to have a conversation with us about what they are doing and how they're doing it, we are, you know, glad to do it and no extra charges.
So, Jimmy, do you have stuff like that at your facility?
Well, not election related. We're a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
So, we do is political education, and we do an incredible variety of events at the Media Center, including documentary film screenings, workshops, talks, lectures, and also cultural events. But we stay focused on the issues because we are part of
the Media Center. So we wouldn't be going there to do what he does.
Right.
Yeah,
like, what happens,
not.
Yeah, what happens is that a progressive push, we are a candidate advocacy PAC. It's a 527. And the reason we do that is because if when you are registered with the federal government to do this thing, except for the super PACs that they have come up with now, you have the five, you know, there are some limitations as to political work that you can do. And if you want to work to elect a candidate or to do electioneering, you know, on behalf of a candidate, you have to register with the Federal Elections Commission, and you can do either issue or campaigning, or you can do candidate advocacy, but you can't not do both. And by doing candidate advocacy, we can actually raise money for a candidate, spend it on the candidate, aside for somebody, let's say somebody has given a candidate $2,400, which is a max, for Congress, and you know, they would like to get more. They can always go to the 527 and give it to the 527, and then the 527 can spend it on making videos, you know, having signs, literature,
whatever promotional
et cetera,
materials
et cetera. Yeah,
are necessary.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, somebody has, if a potential candidate has a plan and they show it to you and it's not a good plan, do you help make it a better plan?
We have to, we tell them. Actually, one of the things that, we are very blunt with our candidates because we, you know, it's a reality check. When you become a candidate and you're doing these things, you really have to have a number of things in front of you that have to be very clear. You know, the first thing we ask them, do you have any skeletons in your closet? Frankly, because somebody's going to find them if you don't expose them. You got to tell us that you're clear. When you leave home, everything at home has to be on the up and up, and then it's really going to be very embarrassing if something is happening and you get surprised. Yeah, I mean, a lot of candidates don't know about that, don't even realize that it's going to, when you run for office, you give your privacy away. And that means that there are going to be people looking into every bit of your whole life. And there's more work than just doing Google search on you. And so you have to think in terms of letting a candidate know. You have to plan ahead long before you're going to run for office. You have to make sure that everything is on the up and up. Everything is clean, and if not, why not, and how are you going to deal with that particular issue? You have to ask the most obvious questions, because if it isn't clear to you, it's not going to be clear to anybody else. And so you have to make sure that a candidate knows everything about where he's been, what he's done, where is he going, and then at the same time that he begins to use that to listen to other people and to do his work. A candidate has to know how to admit to their own faults or to their own ignorance about subjects.
Herman Cain never talked to you, did he?
Well, one of the things that we tell people is ignorance can be cured. When you're talking about stupid people knowing everything, then you're dealing with people who are dangerous. That's the thing. That is a problematic that we see. Yeah.
Candidates use their downside. Can you all hear me? Am I coming in?
Yes, speak up a little.
Mm-hmm. This is Gwen. I was saying that candidates use their downside as an asset. I mean, look at Alan West. He's used his downside as an asset to achieve a certain place in the bolt hole certain voters, and he won the seat, the congressional seat here.
With his
I call downside. I mean, they're
right. It's catering to the lowest common denominator. In this particular case, these are individuals who go out and cater to the most radical elements out there and to the most radical beliefs in a group or society. On the other hand, let me tell you that a lot of these people have gotten, and I make criticism of the in Florida, the state party, and that is that candidates are not often supported by the state party. Frankly, they leave them alone. They don't help them. A candidate in Florida has to pay $6,000+ to get the voter files for the state. That means that they have to raise all that money to be able to compete. The Republicans don't have that problem. Republicans have school for candidates. Democrats don't, and particularly not in the state of Florida. Right now there is a dearth of candidates. Most congressional seats in the state of Florida are going unchallenged. It's amazing. It's just like the seats in the Tallahassee, the Florida Democratic Party is irrelevant in Tallahassee. They have so very few people up there that they are just, except for this vote that came out. It was surprising, this vote that came out on the privatization of jails, that a number of Republicans crossed the line.
This is Amy. I just wanted to make a point today.
Yeah.
Because of the redistricting, this is a year when it's easier to run for office because you have to get less petitions.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need, throughout the whole state, to encourage people to get on the ballot run in all the races. Because because of redistricting, some of these seats may turn out to be winning seats, and we won't know that unless we get candidates and encourage them to at least put their name on the ballot.
You're right, but we also have to help them win those races, whether it is with expertise, people that can provide it, help them with volunteering. It's just saying to people, okay, you're angry, then put that energy to work. Don't rant. Elect your candidate. Get even. Get them in there. And get things to be better. If we can do that, it will happen. But we have to get people involved with that. It's not tell somebody, encourage somebody to run and then not support them. We need to get the people to go out there and say, okay, you want to run for office, you're a good candidate, let me support you. Let me help you get in there.
We should have a school for candidates from the Democratic Party. Is that what you're assessing?
It should, yes. Yes, but they,
Okay, but who's they? Who would it be?
Well, that's what they have, a executive director that takes care of those things.
The Democratic Party of Florida executive director?
Yes.
Well, but let me jump in here because I've had a lot of experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
They help with the state races, but on the federal races, on Congress, that comes down from the DNC, and it's Washington. They cannot help because of the campaign laws. There's a limit on what the state can do. So
you cannot coordinate races. That's one thing. But counties, each county has, an amount of money that they reserve that they can contribute to a federal race.
$1,000. They can give $1,000, but there is other things that they can do though. This next weekend here in Brevard, we're coordinating with all the candidates to go out and help each other get their petitions done.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to weekend probably get everybody on the ballot because we're going to send people out.
That's
to,
what it takes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Send them out to libraries. We're going to do packages, and so we'll have.
Mm-hmm.
Say five candidates in a package, and people will just sign the top one, and then we'll fill in the rest of the information. And we're going to do stuff like that.
Is that being done through the local county Democratic Party or through other
organizations? Yeah, through the Democratic Party, right.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's steps
that's great.
That it's done. It's just you have to have somebody organize it. But once you say you're going to do it, then people will do it.
Sure.
So I think we've really got to help these candidates because they have to raise money. They have so much other stuff to do. Other people can help them at least get on the ballot.
Yeah. Essentially, when we're talking about somebody running for Congress, you're talking about somebody who's asked to either have a number of signatures, thousands of signatures, from people who want to let them. It doesn't mean that they're going to vote for them, but people will say, "Well, I'll give you my signature so that you can run," or they come up with $10,000. There are other states
that's
in which
that's a lot of money. $10,000.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
There are other people who act. Other states where that fee is $1,500. You see, so it varies by the state, and many candidates you know, they're struggling. There are Republican incumbents who have war chests of $2 million. You see,
right.
And their candidates, Democratic candidates, who are coming up with $40,000 to compete against that. So it's really rough, and unless you have an army of volunteers who is willing to, you know, come out there with you, and that is 50-50 work, because the candidate has to come out and, you know, sing to the choir. You know,
mm-hmm.
actually tell them,
definitely.
Sing with me. And then, you know, those volunteers have to, you know, get riled up and go and work for the candidate, too. Together they can do it.
The most impressive thing I heard you say tonight, I mean, it's all very impressive, and I think you're doing wonderful work, but what impressed me the most here was something you said. You sort of danced back from it, but you said the question was to ask, why do you want to do this? And I think
mm-hmm.
that right now, at this time, in this country, in this state, anywhere in the country, and practically all over the world, that question posed to a politician is very important.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the key. It's the
key
to getting...
Well, it can be life and death, too. I was a candidate, and I think it was the Police Benevolent invited all the candidates to an event. They didn't actually do a formal screening, but this guy walked around and just individually asked each of the candidates, well, why do you want to run? And a lot of the people just sort of blew him off and gave a silly answer. And they didn't get any help from... They were looking for people who had it really down pat. I want to run to make a difference. I want to run because, you know...
Mm-hmm.
So that's... If the candidates don't know why they're running, what they're going to do, they should
exactly.
show up.
Yeah, no, definitely. You see, that's what I say. You have to, okay, I want to fix this, I want to build it, or I want to make it better. Which one is it? But be specific.
And tell them who you are, too, because I have people on my radio show, and they need to give a good narrative of who they are so people can remember them. You know, I've been a stay-at-home mom. I'm a Navy veteran. I'm a teacher. You know, something so that people can remember who they are, and they, you know,
just
and then
so.
Go back and say, okay, I support that person. And these sound like simple things, but our candidates need to work on that.
So a candidate should have a biography. Whether they use
definitely.
The whole thing or not, they should get their own biography so that they know who they are.
Oh, yes.
A 30-second story, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
just a story.
Yeah. Well, they can short, but
you
if
know,
they
I'm
wrote it out, they could
short.
Go from there.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, you know, a candidate is trying to market himself or herself. That's what they're trying to do. They can't do it when we're talking about votes. You just can't come out there and I want to sell you a candidate. It doesn't work like that. It has to be a matter of, I want this contract. I want to have a contract with you. I want to, you give me 2 years in Congress, and this is what I'm going to do for you. You see, I want to work. These are the problems in the congressional district. I want to bring we need a veterans hospital here. You see, there's so many veterans who are living in this area, and they have, you know, they have to go so many miles away to the next veteran hospital. But you deal with specifics, and if you do that, you get people to talk to you.
You have to be genuine.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
It's the same thing with students. You know, if you say, well, if you've got the university here, then you say, well, you know, student loans, big issue. The student fees, big issue. You know, the fact that the faculty is not well paid, the faculties are leaving the state. You see, how are we going to get these students well educated? We're raising the fees. We're teaching them less. Wait a minute. You know, this is for whom is this a deal? Okay, so we got to fix that.
I'm so sorry. That's That's my point. We have less minute. I'm so sorry. We could talk for a long time, but we get less than 30 seconds. I want to thank you so much, Luis, and I want to thank Amy Tidd.
Thank
I want
you.
To thank Gwen Holdenberry and Jimmy Schmidt. I want to all thank you so much for being on Progressive
Thanks
News
for
and sharing.
Thank
you
for having us.
And everyone, thank you very, very much. And we'll maybe do this again. Thanks.
Bye.
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Bye.
Thanks. Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world to come and don't you see?